Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment world. My guest today is an anathema. He's a founding member of the 1992 punk rock band, The Hostages. Then things went dark for almost two decades. Now Ray Vaughan is back. It is with great pleasure I welcome Ray to the program. Ray, hello.
Well, hello, Simon. Thanks so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
It is all my pleasure. I do want to ask you about that almost two-decade period where you sat in the corner, but we'll come back to that. For the benefit of our listeners, would you share share a little bit about your background, who you are?
Sure. I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I started playing guitar at a fairly early age. I was here in San Francisco when the Summer of Love hit, and I had an older sister who was in light shows, and they used to play regularly at the Avalon Ballroom and the Fillmore. So from an early age, I was exposed to music, and I was hooked early on. I started performing my own material at about 16, 17, wherever I could. Street corners, county fairs, it didn't really matter. I just wanted to play. And then I ended up moving to England. I moved to London in 1973. And ended up in Birmingham, England, doing a lot of the, following the folk circuit at the time, just me and my acoustic guitar. And traveled a lot over all through England. Had a great time. Don't know why I settled in Birmingham, England at the time, but there was a whole music scene happening there. And then when the punk thing hit, 76, 77, it was just set me off in a whole nother course. And ended up coming back to San Francisco in 78, where I put together a band called Hostages. And I guess our first shows were the fall, winter of 1979. And played everywhere we could, in the Blue Hay Gardens back then, Sound of Music, dives, wonderful places. And spent a lot of time doing that.
I'm just curious. I don't want to, interrupt your flow. But why did you adopt the style of punk? And the reason I ask that is I've talked to no end of British musicians from that era. Some incredibly well-known household names. Yeah, and the answer was, we were done. We just had to get out of Dodge.
Yeah. So the question is, why did I pursue a punk ethos, a punk band?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's a great question, because coming back here in 78, my friends back in England were laughing at me, saying, punk is dead. What are you doing, man? It's come and it's gone. Why are you doing that? And I think what really set me off was just the fact that it was the do-it-yourself ethos to the whole thing. You had a lot of young kids that were just so disgusted with the music coming out of the 70s, the production, the excess, the corporate takeover of so many record companies. Record companies were falling by the wayside. People were fed up. So it wasn't so much the punk thing that got me as much as do-it-yourself. The fact that you could get people together, find people to engineer and help you record stuff, produce it yourself, and get it out there yourself. And that's what really, really got me going. That was the interesting part of it all, to do it yourself.
Right, and then we have this big gap. What were you doing?
What was I doing? Well, you know, I was slogging it out for 15 years with pretty much the same group of guys, and it just at some point we were playing a gig. It must have been 91 here in San Francisco, a place called Paradise Lounge, which one of my favorite venues of all time. Got off stage and I just said, I'm done. I don't know who those people are out there. I don't have anything else to say. I'm done. And that was that. You know, I got tired of writing the same song over and over and over again. And it just wasn't happening for me. I mean, what I needed to say, I said.
So, you know, pretty much you were just out of gas.
Burnt out, the creativity part of it wasn't happening for me. You know, I was done, man. I kept saying, as long as I have something to say, as long as I have a story to tell in a way that doesn't bore me and anyone else, then I'm going to do it. I'll write it. But, I was done.
Okay, I'm sure you had a, you know, wonderful career at McDonald's or wherever. But
I actually ended up teaching. I spent some years teaching. I ended up becoming a special ed teacher and working with kids that had emotional disturbances and learning disabilities, the desk throwers, the ones that were really bright, but didn't really know how to channel it in a positive way. They were, you know, getting in trouble. And I just fell in love with doing that. You know, it was almost like, you know, being on a stage with a different kind of an audience, but... You know, it's performance. Teaching is performance, and it was great, great experience.
I am very impressed. You know, teachers are so much underappreciated. They're underpaid. I'm. It's just awful. So, yeah, you have my admiration, shall we say.
Well, I was coming from a profession of being underpaid and underappreciated, so it was a natural transition. It felt like a glove. Again, you know what? It's a performance. You know, you're on a stage. You're trying to get someone to pay attention to you, and, you know, the thing is, these are kids that... They're high school kids, so we're looking at the ages of 14 to 18, and they had 4 years before they were adults, and they needed to figure it out, or else it ends up in jail. A lot of them have, a lot of them will, but you know, I related to it. You know, it was a good fit, and I enjoyed it.
So let's talk about your new CD, Way
Yes,
Down Low. What would you like to say about it?
What would I like to say? Well, you know, the thing is, I started in 2002, after 9/11, 2002, 2003, a good friend of mine was living in New York City, and I went to visit one summer, and I've been going back every summer for the last 7 years, 8 years. In fact, I'll be leaving and a couple weeks to go back again to do some shows. Going back to New York, I started listening to music again. There was a whole new group of kids that were playing, and the music scene was so vibrant, and San Francisco kind of wasn't doing a lot. I mean, it was here, but San Francisco is a small town. And I just realized here I am again, enjoying music, watching music, listening to music. And I just started writing again. And little by little, put together songs. And boom, here I am with a, you know, full-length CD ready to go.
Okay. If you have no objections, I think we should play a track. How does Boardwalk sound to you?
Boardwalk, yeah, that's the song that Crook Story on Boardwalk. Three songs.
I'll tell you what. Let's listen to it, and then you can tell the story.
You got it.
Boardwalk dreams, coast not out of control. I'm just trying to make something whole. I'm just trying to make something whole.
It is an incredibly pretty song. Somehow, though, I just can't see people forming a mosh pit.
If I jumped into a mosh pit today, I'd break a hip.
Right.
You know, look, you're right, and it's like I said, you know, I was out of gas. I had nothing left to say. I mean, in my mind, if punk died in 79, in 2013, it's definitely long gone. It's not who I am. You know, this is a song about, you know, transition. It's a song about, once again, finding your feet on the ground, where before maybe they were kind of, you know, on two parts, two different tectonic plates at the same time, you know? I was back and forth into New York and San Francisco, and, you know, I gave the lyrics away, actually, to someone else, a friend of mine, who's a musician, Anna Carney. I said, hey, Anna, here's a song for you. Make something good out of it. And the next day, I wrote the song. So I said, I had to call her back and say, hey, I need the words back. Sorry.
<You're right. laughs> Yeah.
But that was the catalyst. It's a true story.
Yeah, I didn't mean, you know, the words I sent.
I'm sorry?
In other words, you said, oh, can I have those words back?
Yes, please. Yeah, I mean, it was just, there it was. And I wanted it back.
Just out of idle curiosity, was this a tune that you'd fiddled with for a long, long time? Or is it one of those things that just came to you and away it went?
Well, no. See, that's the thing. You know, I was so used to writing songs that way. That's how I used to write. They just, boom, here it was. When it was done, it was done. If I wanted to tweak it, I'd just write another song, you know, and do it. So the music was there for a while. It just wasn't fitting together. And then it did. And that's when I realized that my songwriting had changed, that I could no longer write those three-minute songs that had, you know, verse, verse, chorus, scream out. Because that's I love, don't get me wrong, I love that shit. I mean, I really do. I just, you know, I can't, that's not what I just can't do that. And that song had a lot to do with I was going to move to New York, and then I wasn't, and then I was, and then I wasn't, and it was a lot of back and forth and a lot of soul searching. New York is New York saved me in a lot of ways. It really brought me back to this creative spot that I missed, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until that song came together.
Obviously, there are other people on the CD. Would you like to, you know, share the list of players and people that helped?
Most certainly. Number one, Michael Rosen, who was a producer and engineer, who's just phenomenal. Michael Rosen and I go back to the first band back in 79. He was an engineer learning his trade, and we've been playing together ever since. I mean, he's recorded me before. And when it was time to go back into the studio, I said, Michael, let's go. I got some songs I need to put down. So he was instrumental in making it happen. Eddie Rawlings, who's on guitar, the haunting guitar that you hear there that makes that song just, I love it. That guitar kills me every time I hear it. Ed Rawlings, we started way back in 79 also, so we've been playing together an awfully long time. He's actually, the show that I'm doing here in San Francisco, it's just an acoustic guitar, and then he's on with his Stratocaster playing electric. And so we're just doing this two-piece right now, which is a lot of fun. But big shout-out to Michael Urbano, the drummer, who was absolutely phenomenal. My idea was to go into a studio and just do a straight-up acoustic album, me and my guitar. And Michael said, hey, let's get a drummer in here. I know some guy who could really, you know, you have some fun with. And that was Michael Urbano. And the minute he put the tracks down, everything changed. That's when I needed a bass player. So Stephen Winkle came in to play bass. He was also with my old band. And we got the kick-ass Hammond B3 organ on there by Phil Bennett. Who plays a lot. He's actually a real musician. But I mean, again, these guys really just took me to a place I had no idea I could go. I mean, really sounds cheesy, but they pushed me in the right way, and I will be forever thankful to them all.
You mentioned one gentleman who I believe is involved with Papa Roach.
Michael Rosen did a lot of, he did production for Papa Roach, Rancid. He worked with Carlos Santana, but I'm not supposed to say that.
Right.
And a lot. He's been around. He's truly been around. He worked a lot with Michael.
I saw Papa Roach in Calgary. It was a number of years ago. My wife wasn't keen on the idea, but I explained that they played, you know, country rock.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they've gone through a lot of changes themselves. I mean, I'm not real familiar with all their music, but you know, it's they're playing, man. They're out there gigging, making music. That's you know. And hats off to them for getting it out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she didn't speak to me for like 2 weeks.
Well, that could have been because you're in Calgary. No offense, Canada. Calgary's
right.
Gorgeous, just not in the middle of winter.
Where can people buy copies of Way Down Low?
Way Down Low will be released internationally, I'm told, on June 25th. So we're looking at iTunes, Amazon.com, and then in stores as well. I mean, the best thing to do is just hit up my website, which is RayosoMusic.com. Now,
okay.
If you Google Ray Vaughan, you're going to get a zillion pages of Stevie Ray Vaughan, so I don't advise that unless you want to listen to some great guitar playing.
Right, yeah. I understand the problem there. How would you feel if we played another track?
Yeah, sure.
Reversal of Fortune.
Okay, now, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Boardwalk was the first song that brought me back to all this, and we were ready to go with the CD, and I wrote Reversal of Fortune. And Reversal of Fortune is the only song in the CD where we actually were all in the studio playing live together. So
okay.
We held it up because it's the last thing I did.
All right. Let's play it.
You got...
Thank you.
another great track, and I think you've done a fabulous job. But I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's one thing fiddling in the studio. You know, you can edit, you can overlay, you can do 8 things to Sunday. Whole different ball of wax when you're on the stage live. Do you prefer the studio, or do you prefer the live venue?
Live, 100% live is where I come alive. The studio is hard for me. This was particularly challenging because we went in there with one idea, or I went in there with one idea and ended up with what you just heard, with the full band playing basically live. That was all in the studio live, and that was a lot of fun. Playing live is really what it's all about. I'm not a geek when it comes to technology, and I know what I'm hearing. I know how to describe what I want to hear, and let engineers and producers know what I don't want to hear. But it's not my forte. I'm not a good studio person. I much prefer a live show.
So that segues into my next question. You know, where can people find you?
Well, that's a really good question. I just finished up a couple shows here. I played Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco, which is one of the best places that I've ever played. It's not huge, just about 250, 300 people, but it's good sound, very respectful staff to the musicians. It treats you well, and it's just a great place to play. And then I've also been playing monthly at a laundromat called Brainwash here in San Francisco. That's the truth. It's a cafe, speakeasy with a laundromat in the back. And again, my good friend Anna Carney has been putting on a Wednesday night local acoustic showcase for local bands and local singer-songwriters. So I've been playing a lot of these songs there and reworking them and trying to get it to a point where when I go on the road, I'll have it down. So that's been loads of fun. I'm playing in New York City at one of my favorite places called Zirzamine, Subterranean Music Parlor, which is on West Houston and LaGuardia. And the guy who owns it used to own Momo's in Austin, Texas. And it's an incredible little underground space. It's not big. But again, it's got that do-it-yourself ethos, and I'm really happy to be back. I played there last year, and I'm happy to be back again. And I'm working on some other shows at this time that are not confirmed, but I would not be surprised if I ended up doing an open mic at the Sidewalk Cafe in the East Village, or illegally in the subway. You know, I mean, maybe just having my acoustic guitar with me and not having a whole band is that I can do that. And I did that in London. I did that. That's kind of where I started. So it's kind of this full circle. I'm coming back to playing, you know, street corners again, and it's really been, it's been a lot of fun. It's been really hard. I don't know. It's hard. It's great fun.
Okay. Street corners, subways. That's you and your guitar. Nothing else. Do you feel comfy with just you and the guitar?
I do, but I need it. I'm actively getting a band together because New York will be mostly me and my acoustic. Ed Rawlings might be out there with the, you know, for a few shows with me. But what I'm really working on is just getting a touring band together again because, as you heard, that B3, the Hammond B3 and Reversal of Fortune just slays me to be on the stage of that pumping out. Just that's you know, I see these songs as needing a full band. At the same time, it's really comfy doing them just me and acoustic as well. So they're just two different animals.
Exactly. I'm looking at the time, we're flat out of it. What is next for you? Do you have another CD planned?
I've got material. Luckily, I'm writing. I've got half of another CD ready to go. The songs need some arranging, but yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I need to record. I need to. I'm writing. You know, I want to get it out there. And luckily, you know, I lived long enough. Some of the people I know have their own studios now. So, you know, things are accessible in a way that they weren't, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, you know, I would like to get to Europe, which is kind of where we're doing a big PR push for, you know, for France and England. I'd love to get back to England and play. That's really a goal of mine as well. And I've got 14 to 15 fans in Aberdeen, and you know, for 15 people, I'll go to Aberdeen in a heartbeat to play. So I just want to see where it goes. I want to see. I want to get out and play.
That is without doubt the absolute best attitude anyone can have. I've got a fan. I'm gonna go entertain them.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what it's about. I mean, you write songs. Basically, they're personal and they're about you and it's this egocentric thing. And then once they're done, it's no longer about you. It's about everything outside of you. And it's terrifying and it's fun. I'm alive. I'm alive. You know, it makes me feel alive.
Ray, I really want to thank you, but I do have to close this program down. Thank you so much for taking part.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, and let's do it again soon, huh? I'd love to talk to you.
You bet. And keep me in the loop. I'll be interested to see where you go next.
You and me both.
Right. okay, listeners, till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing you all a very happy, safe and healthy day and week and month. We'll be back again with another edition of The Week in Reviews. Until then, goodbye.
Cheers. Thank you.